So we'll talk about the parts that we already prepared, but in terms of going forward, so let's say, again, for sure, again, the Gemara Chesam et Aleph, the Tesam et Aleph, as I say, we've done a lot of the material there. We've done Shadinofa Basar Ikaro, and we've done, not thoroughly, because we still have to, you know, fill in some gaps, but we've done parts of Zarak Kaberes, right, when we talked about Dalet al Dalet, both in terms of Zrikas Rishuyos and in terms of how do you calculate whether Dalet al Dalet, is excluding or including the thickness of the walls, right? That issue, the Machlokas Rishonim and Reb Chaim, and the whole issue of Dalet al Dalet and Rishus Hayachid. So you just be familiar with this. And then we've done Amud Tisha Rishus Rabban Veram Mekatvim Alav. We did when we talked about whether that needs to be Dalet al Dalet, whether or not it's Dafka Tess or it's Tess through Yud. That those Rishonim we've discussed. So you should just be familiar with the, you know, we'll try to do, I don't know whether we'll be able to go through the Shaka Vataria, but, you know, all those things for sure are material for the Bechina, and you should just be, you know, familiar with all the material that we did on that. And then, of course, Zirza Dekani, which came up both in the first man and again when we talked about Ben Azai and the Chachamim, right, and we talked about the Ramban and the Ravid, both here and in Ksuvas Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph. So there are a bunch of things, and then of course Derech Olav, and that's the, you know, Machlokas, Rashi and Tosis and other Rishonim on the bottom of Chesam and Beis, Derech Olav. So, you know, most of the material pretty much we've done, or a lot of the material through Tess Amad Aleph. So you should just know the Shaka Vataria and the things that we've done through there. But in terms of connecting, so definitely go through the Gemara at least until Zarak Kaveres, which is five lines down into Ches Amad Aleph. We're going to try to do as much as we can in the next 3-4 days of that Shaka Vataria. So just definitely know it well, Gemara Rashi Tosis and Rambams. And we'll try to do, if we can, at least something about Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, Carmelis, and Makom Patur, in addition to the things that we've already done from the material here. And also we have to speak very quickly about Isi Ben Yehuda. So just go through the Shaka Vataria as well as you can. I know we're rushing, and we will, as I say, fill in the gaps for those who will be around in June. In terms of the specifics, I want to just try to finish off a little bit more about Rishus HaRabim. I'm not going to get into some of the more exotic, you know, Erevin issues. Obviously, we'll never get out of that right now. In terms of, what constitutes, Mishar Lashar and Mechuvanim and all of that. That's obviously really, you know, very fascinating. So again, in June, we'll try to supplement or fill in. But for now, just to get at least the main Rishonim Alatar, and some of the basic things. So I gave you what we'll discuss today more about Dalet al, we'll discuss more today about Shishim Ribo and some of the things that I gave you to look at previously. But in terms of just adding or supplementing Platya, there's this whole discussion in the Achronim. It really comes partly through the tour, whether Platya has to be something which is Mufulash, which is open to the, you know, from on all sides. So that's the tour Shin Mem Hei Sif Katan Zayin, but really it's earlier. It's the Rajba in Avodas Hakodesh, Gimel Aleph Aleph. All the Achronim speak about that Rajba, and the Meiri here also Alatar. Contrast that with the Chidushi Haran or the printed, you know, we call the Perush Haran, whatever it is, B'Shem Hara'ah. Does a Platya, if we get a chance, already talk about it a little today, does the Platya have to be open Mefulash or not? And there's a famous tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi in Siman Lamed Zayin about that, and other Achronim, the Avnei Nezer. It's like a big, obviously it has a very, very important, all these issues of Rishus HaRabim obviously are very critical for the question of Erevin Halach Lamaisa, because if you take the view that you cannot, use Tzuras HaPesachs in Rishus HaRabim Daraisas, so how you define Rishus HaRabim Daraisa becomes very critical, obviously. So this in addition to the, you know, importance per se, this is something that got a lot of attention, some of these shittas. That's in terms of platya. In terms of sratya, you know, that's kind of the two, you know, we'll have somebody read the Gemara again in a second, but the first time we had it read, we noted that, you know, sratya and platya could be viewed as two just, you know, examples, two hekatimtzis, or really two models of Rishus HaRabim, in which case, should, you know, which is the dominant model? Is it the platya, which is a place, a makom, in which, you know, a lot of people are there and there's a lot going on inside, or is it the sratya, the, you know, the highway that connects, where the, you know, the population isn't the important thing, it's the access that it provides, it's shimush harabim, or makom shimush harabim, or makom ro'i l'shimush harabim. So again, the question of sratya and platya, how to define them, and especially what they're, if there are different dinim for sratya and platya in terms of shishim ribo, or, you know, fulashim, etc., that's obviously going to, you know, be important to try to figure out, you know, whether or not there are two dinim or one dinim, and if there's one din, so is it sratya that is defining platya, or platya, you know, defining sratya? So that's kind of what we're looking at in terms of the, I just want to mostly stick with the Rishonim al Atar, and a few outside, but, and the Shulchan Aruch, but that's what we're looking at. So platya, that's one point. Mevos ha-mefulashim, you know, what does that need to be? And whether it needs to be, you know, Mishar al-Shar. So that's, again, that same Rajba and Avodas HaKodesh. You know, the language of the Shulchan Aruch. You know, the Beis Yosef, the Magen Avraham, Sivkot and Vav. The Gra, if you get a chance. The Ritva and the Rajba here. Actually, the Ritva here. I think the Rajba doesn't really say it so much here, but it says in Avodas HaKodesh. Right, what does it mean that the, you know, Bavos in the city have to be mefulash? Is that mishar al shar? Is it just means that they are they mefulash into the platya or the sratya of the Yishuv Rashi, which we talked about, etc. Then there's a keren zavis, which comes up. We're going to read the Gemara in just a minute. Samach l'rishus harabim. What is keren zavis? So Rashi has his interpretation. What about the Rambam? The Rambam seems to interpret keren zavis differently. Perek Adalid, Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Dalid and Vav, and this is connected by the Nosei Kelim, many of them already, and certainly the Achronim, with the Rambam's Shita on Rishus Hayachid, which we already made allusion to. Does the Rambam hold that Rishus Hayachid requires four mechitzos and not just three min haTorah? Again, how do we understand in general the din of Rabbi Yehuda, right, that two mechitzos would be enough? That's a Rishus HaYachid issue. Right now I'm interested in Keren Zavos Samuch L'Rishus HaRabim being Rishus HaRabim, but the Rambam's Shita in Yud Dalet, Dalet and Vav needs to be looked at in light of what he says in Yud Zayin Tes, and look at the Magid Mishnah there as well. Rashi Neirvin, Yud Beis on Beis against this Rambam. And the tour is, you know, the position of the tour is a matter of some controversy, because the tour seems to interpret Keren Zavis like the Rambam, but his view on Rishus HaYachid Doraisa seems to be like that of Rashi. So that's the tour, needs to be looked at in Shin Mem Hei, I think it's Yud Dalid. And in light of what he says in Shin Samach Yimel, and this is the discussion of the Bach and the Beis Yosef and the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch in both places. I think the Bach is in Shin Mem Ches, and the Beis Yosef and the Nosei Kelim on Shulchan Aruch are in Shin Samach Gimel. What is the Torah's view about Zavis Samach Rishus HaRabim, about three or four mechitzos being the requirement of Rishus HaYachid? Okay, then Itzdava. The question of Itzdava in the Gemara comes up, right? Both Bein Amudim and Itzdava. What exactly is Itzdava? Is the issue in Itzdava even less than Gimel Tvachim? That's question number one. And question number two is, does Itzdava, in order to be a Carmelis, does it require Dalet al Dalet? Normally, as we know, Carmelis requires Dalet al Dalet. Do you ever have a Carmelis without Dalet al Dalet? That's also Rashi on the Sugya here, seems to dismiss the idea that even something inside a karmaless, there are two different issues. One is if you have a karma, can you ever have a karmaless inside Rosh Hashanah without dalet al dalet? That's the question of itzdava. Can you ever have a karmaless inside a karmaless which doesn't have dalet al dalet? That's a discussion between Rashi and some of the Chachmei Sfarad here. If you want, you can just find it. The Ran has his famous formulation about Motza Minas Mino. So that comes up here as well. So in terms of the Makaros for Itzdava, the Rajbal Atar, also in the Bodas HaKodesh, but Rajbal Atar, the Rambam Perikidalot Halacha Vav, same Rambam as before, and you know, against them, some of the other Rishonim Al Atar, the Riyaz and the Shulta Giborim and the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. In terms of the question of Dalet al Dalet, you have most Rishonim assuming that you do need Dalet al Dalet for this to be a Karmelis, if it's a Karmelis. And against the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Tosas Rid, you know, adjoins this discussion as well. In general, some interesting Tosas Rids on these Sugyas. So, you know, look at the Tosas Rid and the Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar, Simen Kuf Tzadi. Okay. In terms of Beinu Amudim, which we'll discuss in just a minute as well, just how do we paskin, what is Beinu Amudim, of course, and how do we paskin on Beinu Amudim as well. So that's in terms of, you know, filling in a little bit, in the sugya at least, the Hagdara of Rosh HaRabim, and of course, also Chorei Rosh HaRabim and Sidei Rosh HaRabim, you know, in light of things that we've already spoken about in terms of Rosh HaRabim, you know, and its relationship to Rosh HaYachid in parallel issues. We talked about Yad, we talked about Nof, right? We talked about the requirement of Dalet al Dalet. We talked about, you know, how different it is in terms of Lamala, you know, and Lamata Me'asara, and Lamala and Lamata Me'gimel, right? Are those technical differences because Rosh HaYachid Ol L'Rakia because of Gunasik, or because, again, fundamentally, there are differences between the nature of Rosh HaYachid and Rosh HaRabim. So those are things all to keep in mind, you know, going forward, the question of spheres of influence of those. In terms of Rosh HaYachid, so obviously there's some overlap in the material I just gave you, right, in terms of Gimel and Dalet Mechitzos and how you understand Rabbi Huda, the contrast to Rosh HaRabim, the issues I just mentioned. But in addition to that, also just a good little, you know, two things to zero in on this in the sugya itself is the discussion of the Gemara of if, you know, Kiruyo includes the Asara, so this distinction between Lamala and Lamata, right? This idea that the, you know, the Mechitzas of Rosh HaYachid in terms of their height only kick in, you know, if they, you know, if it's exclusive of the airspace. If the airspace, you know, relies on the completion of the mechitza, that's not sufficient. And how do we understand the nature of that halacha? And closely connected to that, are there two dinim of Rosh HaYachid in general, an inside, you know, kind of an integrated Rosh HaYachid and a top? Can you ever distinguish between the top and the bottom, which is what the Gemara seems to say here? That's also part of the discussion that we had with Dalet al Dalet and, again, Reb Chaim, and that whole discussion previously. But in addition to that, this question of Chokak Dalet al Dalet, which is the Gemara here in Zayin Ov Beis. Okay, we'll try to read it in a couple of minutes. But Tosis' question, the seeming discrepancy between Sukkah and Shabbos. Why does that in Sukkah, if you're, you know, if you don't have 10 Tvachim, so even if you, as long as you're Chokak, if you're Chokak somewhere in the middle, you know, you need to have a tziruf to the, you know, to the mechitzas, probably lavud, you know, pachas megimel tvachet. And yet in here, in this again Shabbos, it appears that is not a requirement, that you don't need gimel, and maybe you don't even need what you require in dofen akuma. So that's the discussion of Tosis and Tosis Shanim and some of the Chachmei Svarad here on Zayin Ov Beis. What's the relationship of the requirements of Sukkah and of Mechitzas on Shabbos? It's an issue which we've touched on before, but we should look at again. And in connection with that, also the, you know, piece in Reb Chaim, number of the pieces of Reb Chaim are relevant to this, but particularly the one in Hilchos Sukkah, Perek Dalet, Okay, so that's let's start with that, and we'll see, you know, what we can get in terms of the dollar reshutas. When we don't finish, we'll try to finish up when we. I think we come back earlier than June this year. Is that right? Because everything is the calendar's a little bit. So I guess the end of May, all things being equal. Okay, so the last thing that we discussed, and that I wanted to try to finish off, was partly today, is the question of Ya'ar and Midbar, and the question of Shishim Rebo. Right, so let's have somebody just get us back to where we were. Yaakov, you don't mind? You're reluctant, but you'll do it.
Sure.
Okay. So just very quickly, right, the Gemara here in Vav Amud Aleph, Tan Rabbanan.
Does it mean the price?
Yeah.
Okay. Tan Rabbanan, Dalad Rishus L'Shabbos, Rishus L'Yachid, Rishus L'Rabin, Timeless, Umakom Ptor.
Yeah.
Izzi Rishus L'Yachid, Chariz Shu Amok Yud, Rachab Dalad. B'chein Gedr Shu Gavoy Yud, V'Rachab Dalad. Zohi Rishus L'Yachid Gemura.
Yeah.
Ve'ezo Hi Rishus L'Rabin, Sarati Ophulatia, Gidola, Mavos M'Fulashim.
Yeah. So again, that's what we, as we mentioned, we just have to figure out whether Srach and Plach are just two hechatimtzis, in which case, you know, which one of them is the dominant one, because they do seem to be slightly different things. One is, right, an outlet. Basically, it's a you know, it's an outlet or a, you know, an access, you know, to, and the other one is a place of substance. It's a place where there's a population center, and whether it's a population center of people living, or a population center of people, you know, involved in finance, you know, in terms of or living, making a living. But either way, it's a place basically, you know, in which the, you know, the presence of a population is important. Sratya is about access, basically. Makom, you know, shimush rabin, something which is open to everybody and which, you know, leads to other places. It's not an intrinsic place. No one lives in a highway. Highway is not a population center, right? So again, is it sracha even though it's not a platya because it leads to a platya? Is it platya even though it's not a sracha, you know, because it's, you know, the you know, the final destination of a sracha? Or are these two completely different dinim? If so, are there nafgamina? Are there two different concepts of Rishus HaRabim? And we're going to get back to that. Right, in just a minute. Mavos hamufulashin, right, seems like something in between, right? Because on the one hand, it's in the city, presumably. That's what differentiates it from sratya, right? It's the city streets, but you know, again, it's reminiscent of sratya, and you know, since it's within the city, so maybe it's more, you know, what serves the more directly serves the platya. So is this the third model of Rishus HaRabim? That's a little less likely, I guess. If, you know, we don't want to multiply the models. But in terms of the requirements, in any case, you know, this requirement of Mifulashin, what does Mifulashin mean? Mifulashin to what? So Rashi has the comment here that the Mavos, or Mifulashin, are Mifulashin to the, well, they're different Girsos, right? But the simple one is to Mifulashin to the Platya. Right? There's also a girsa that's mufulash to the sratya. Okay, that already highlights, you know, the two perspectives that you could have of, you know, what the mavos mufulashim, if indeed there is a difference, you know, is more connected to one or to the other. In theory, one could have just said that mavos mufulashim doesn't have to be connected not to a sratya, not to a platya. Right? You'd still have the question whether conceptually it's, you know, it's closer to a platya or to a sratya, but Rashi kind of raises the stakes by saying that the mavos hamufulashim have to empty into or have to be connected to or come from either a sratya or a platya. One probably, either both, one or the other, or specifically one. Also, what do we mean by mufulashim? Again, not for Rashi, we would have just said that mufulashim means that it is not bound by something that makes a mechitza, but the fact that it's not doesn't you know, empty into a rishus harabim of some other sort, you know, is not necessarily a requirement. Why not just say that you know, as long as there's no mechitza, you know, on two of the, you know, directions of the Mavos, that's a term for Lashim, so that would itself be a Rosh Hashanah. But Rashi doesn't go that route, but the Gemara could be interpreted that way, you know, easily. Okay, so that's a question of Vos on Mufulashin. We also don't know whether Mufulashin, as we'll talk about more, you know, requires a certain quality. You know, Mufulashin just means that, you know, functionally, you know, it leads out or into something. Or it's not bound, that's the point. Or is there any, you know, stricter Hagdara, you know, making this something, you know, that is, you know, Mukhvano Zulazu? Does there have to be any sort of, you know, relationship between the two Rashim and the Fulashim? They could just say, you know, as long as it empties into what it needs to be emptied into, or, right, it just isn't bound, so that's Mufulash, right? There doesn't have to necessarily be a relationship between the Mufulashos. If there is such a requirement, right, it sounds again like, you know, this is part of, you know, creating, you know, some sort of, you know, effect of Rosh Hasharabim. You know, if you need Mechuvanos Zulazu or Mishar El Shar, that it's more like a status within the city, you know, and a role that it's playing. It's the chief boulevard, you know, of the city. And part of being well, you might have said even if it's the chief boulevard, right, that it can, you know, it can curve and it can angle and it can end up even, you know, at right angles, as long as it, you know, moves, you know, directly through. But if you do require that you know, be mefulash mishar el shar, so then the assumption seems to be that, you know, that it is a kind of a chief highway within, or a boulevard, that it's playing a kind of a city role, a broader role. It isn't just that it isn't limited, right, but that the effect of being, you know, that you can see, you know, from one to the other, and, you know, that it goes through, gives it a certain kind of status and stature, makes it a kind of a highway, you know, in the, or a byway, you know, within the whole city, encompassing the whole, this, you know, totality of the city, and giving it that kind of a stature. Another question connected to Mavos and Mavos, and Fulashin, we'll try to see that some of these shitas exist out there, is the question of, you know, whether there's only can be one, or not. Again, this idea that perhaps it should be Mishar Lashar is Mechudash and points to what I just said. The idea that Dafka there should be one, right, similarly or in parallel, points in that direction. Because again, if per se it's just about the, you know, the structure of the Rosh Hasharabim, the fact that it isn't bound and it's a Mokom Sharabim Micholim Leishtamesh Bo, it gives access, and so on, and that per se makes it Rosh Hasharabim, it shouldn't matter to us whether there are multiple of these or a single one. You might say the more the merrier. I mean, why not? Especially if you're looking, you know, to the structure per se. But if, again, your perspective is that, you know, this is about a city-wide definition, you know, it's about the chief boulevard or the chief access, you know, a road, then the fact that there is more than one, you know, takes away from, you know, from each one. Neither one or none of them are the, you know, because there's more than one. So even though it has the Tazayin, you know, Amma, maybe even Tazayin, Al Tazayin, which is also a discussion, right? But the fact that it isn't the only one, right, takes away from the stature of what you require in a Rosh Hasharabim. You need the highway or the single highway or byway, you know, within the city. So this too is a big issue in the later poskim in particular, but again, one which was very crucial in you know, in trying to justify Erevin, you know, in big cities, basically. Okay, so we'll get back to that. But this, just in terms of reading the Gemara already, we're going to stick in our few days that we have mostly with the Rishonim view. I'm going to take, you know, the opportunity when we come back to fill in some of the, you know, Gedolei HaPoskim view. But at least you should be aware what the issues are and what the stakes are. Okay, go ahead.
אם עושים מרשוס היחד זו לרשוס הרב זו, ואם מכניסים מרשוס הרב זו לרשוס היחד זו. ומוצא ויכניס בשוגי, חייב חטס, ומתן המשקרס, ונסקל. אבל ים הוא ביקה, how do we pronounce this next one?
What's that? Istavnus, yeah.
והקרמלס, אין הלוק רשוס הרבים, ולוק רשוס היחד. ואין נוסי ונוסנין בסוחה, ואם נוסי ונוסן בסוחה, פוטר.
Okay, so this is, of course, the category of Carmelis. And again, Tosas here weighs in, as Rashi did earlier, right? Tosas says, Birshalmi Rei Shabbos. Go ahead. Tani?
Birshalmi Rei Shabbos, Tani Rei Chiyak.
Carmel is Rach.
Yeah. Rach Umole.
Yeah.
Lo Lach, Lo Yavish. Ella Benri.
Yeah. So again, this is you have to look at the different formulations as to what, you know, the word Carmelis is based on. We talked about Rashi earlier on Gimel Amud Beis, right, saying something slightly different but parallel. And it's also important to try to figure out is, you know, when we speak about Carmelis, do we always speak about it in negatives, or do we speak about it in positives? Meaning, what? It's neither this nor that. It's in between because it's neither nor, or it's in between because it has characteristics, you know, of both. Again, later on in the Gemara that we're going to read in a minute, the Gemara speaks about, you know, mekule rishus hayachid, mekule rishus harabit. But conceptually, is it, you know, is it what Carmelis is not, or is it what Carmelis is? And this is part of the question. You know, is there a predominant element in Carmelis? Is it more like Rosh Hashanah, more like Rosh Hashanah, or really in between? That's A. B, is it more, if it's more what it's not, so like we've said about Makom Ptur, you might take the view that Carmelis is a non-environment, or non-Rosh Hashanah. Whereas if it has characteristics, also certainly of also Rosh Hashanah, or even of both, you might say that it is a Rosh Hashanah, it is a Chalos Rosh Hashanah. Even vis-a-vis something Rishus HaRabim, you can make the, you know, objectively, you could wonder whether or not it's, you know, less of a Rishus than Rishus HaRabim, you know, because it isn't purist, obviously, or it's more because it has elements also of Rishus HaYachid. Right. So this might play into the question that Rashi deals with and that I mentioned just a minute ago, of whether or not you could have a Carmelis, you know, Bali Makom Dalid inside a Carmelis. As we'll see, Rashi makes this Ha'ara that if you can't have, you know, a Rosh Hashanah, you know, if you can't have a Carmelis inside a Rosh Hashanah, or anything which doesn't have Makom Dalid, let's say, in Rosh Hashanah, is going to be a Makom Ptur, you know, and it's Batel. You know, it's not batel to the Rishus HaRabim, says Rashi. We'll read the Rashi in a minute. So, Hu Adin, Kal V'Chomer, Carmelis, which is obviously less than Rishus HaRabim, you're certainly not going to be able to have anything that doesn't have Dalet al Dalet being, you know, a Carmelis, B'tocha Carmelis. That is the view of Rashi. And as I mentioned, some of the Chachmei Sfarad think that that is incorrect. If you have, let's say, a something pachos midalad inside a Carmelis, they think that that will still be considered a Carmelis. Again, the language of the Ran is, you know, matza min es mino. But the question is, what does he mean by that? Or, even if you think that he doesn't mean what I'm about to say, so if you disagree with Rashi, you don't necessarily have to accept that formulation, although it's very important. You just might say that when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim has, you know, basically no influence on the environment, you know, within it. Now, what you might say is that the Ran is saying you can't have a Carmelis inside of a, you know, Rishus HaRabim, you know, or without Makom Dalid, because it's, you know, min, you know, v'she'eino mino. But if you have, something inside a Carmelis, and you want to make it a Carmelis, it has the opportunity to be a Carmelis, so then that's matza min esmino. Maybe that's all the Ran had in mind. But what I'm suggesting is that on another level, what you might say is that Carmelis, you know, you might challenge Rashi's you know, base assumption, and that is that Carmelis is less of a reshus to, you know, to be mashpia on something inside it than reshus harabim is. That's what you might challenge. You might say that reshus harabim, because it's everybody's place, is nobody's place, or it's a non-place. Not in the same way that makom patur is, but certainly, it, you know, vis-a-vis something like reshus hayachid, which is a chalos reshus. But Carmelis does have certain characteristics of reshus hayachid. It is a makom. And if Carmelis is a makom, instead of saying in a makom, in a reshus hayachid, the in a reshus harabim, if you want to say, you know, yesh bo mishum reshus hayachid, the yesh bo mishum reshus harabim, so then you might say that, you know, therefore, if you have, you know, you can have a Carmelis, even b'li makom dalid inside a Carmelis. That's what the Ran meant, maybe not, hard to know, or you know, or independent of the Ran. Okay, either way, this question of how you look at Carmelis is obviously very, very important. We talked about this already in terms of Carmelis Bekalim, and you know, there possibly being different types of Carmelis, or Carmelis Linyan Dinim Shonim, etc. Okay, let's continue. Oh, I should also add one other thing, and that is the question that's just I got very quickly, just the other question that Tosas asks here, or the earlier Tosas. Did you get a chance to look at it? Kasha L'Rajba, Arba Rishiyos L'Shabbos, just to get that on the record as well.
Kasha L'Rajba, listen to Hey Rishiyos, the Karpi of Yosem Yubayis Sasayim, Shalohu Kaf L'Dira, Azorik Mishir Sarit Ha-Rabim Ha-Yachid L'Tocha, O'Ibcha Chay.
Rishiyos Ha-Rabim L'Tocha, right?
Chay, Ve'im Atal Tlenbo.
So you see that it's not a Rishus HaYachid,
right,
but it's also not a Rishus HaRabim, because your Chayiv, that shows it's like Rishus HaYachid, but you can't, there's no Heter Tilta Betocho, so that implies that it's not a Rishus HaYachid. So why does the Gemara say that there are Dalad Rishuyos, right, there really are Hey Rishuyos? Right. So this is just important to get. We're not going to discuss so much the details of Karpev, Yeser Misasayim Shalahuka Fladira, but where does that fit into the big picture? Yeah. So what's the answer?
Yishlomar de Hayushu Sayachid Gomor El Inyan de Im Metaltzlinbo
El Daladamos.
So Asuka Karmos.
Yeah.
In that one respect. Varik Var Shana Rishu Sayachid Karmos Lahaki Nami Lotani Chatzir Shalom Irm.
Yeah. So again, this is very important. For Karpev, again, we'll see if we get a chance. We'll try to see whether there's any disagreement about that. But this is also pretty much the Ramban says this. A lot of Rishonim say this idea that Karpev is not a Doraisa. Karmelis, as we know, is a Doraisa category, right? It's there are dinim drabanan of Karmelis, but the fact that Karmelis is neither Rishus Harabim or Rishus Hayachid, that in itself is a din Doraisa. But Karpev Shalo Yosem Beis Asayim Shalo Hukaf Ladira, Tosis is saying that's not a din Doraisa at all. But there are different ways that this is said. If the point is that the Arba Rishuyos are all Doraisa, but then of course you get into the question of the difference between Carmelis and Makom Ptur. Is that a difference only on the level of Drabana? And maybe that's what Tosis continues with. Varei Kvar Shana, Rishayachid v'Karmelis, Lachanem Lotani Chatzis Shelo Irvu. In other words, it's covered. You know, even on the Rabbanan level, it's covered. So basically, there are two interesting issues here. Number one is how do we look at Karmelis even on any level, right? So Karpev Shelo, you know, Hukaf Ladira, Yosef Beis Asayim, what we're saying is, even Drabanan, and certainly Doraisa, is a Rishus HaYachid. And apparently we don't look at Carmelis in that way. It's not that Carmelis is a Rishus HaYachid, you know, with a, you know, with an Iser Tiltul, right? We just, you know, don't see it, you know, quite in such, you know, extreme... in such an extreme way. So the question is this only the difference between Rabbanan and Doraisa, or this also reflects Doraisa-wise on what Carmelis is? But, okay, that's a double question. What can you learn about Carmelis from the way Rishonim answer the question of Karpev? And what can you learn b'drabanan about karpev? Even its drabanan of yisur til de betocho is not necessarily a even drabanan a hafkas rishus hayachid. It sounds like it's a limitation within rishus hayachid. That this seems to be a big issue in karpev generally. But okay, let's continue. Chatzer shel rabim.
Chaser shirabim vos shein an flushin irbu utarin lo irbu asurin.
Yeah, so this also needs to be discussed, but not right now, and that's really an eruvin question, and that is what is the status midrabanan of the requirement of eruve chatseros and shitufe mavos, right? To what extent? Again, we know on a certain level, and again the framing of this, you know, goes very well with. You know, that original comment of Tosis in the beginning of the Masechta, you know, that Hotzah Zamalacha Grua, because Mali, you know, Rishus HaYachid, you know, Rishus HaRabim, Mali Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, right? So, and then of course we had it again in the context of Bali Tosis' view of, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, you know, Derech Rishus HaRabim, which we talked about extensively. So in light of that, midrabanan, how do we look at the requirement of Eruvin, right, Mirshus HaYachid, you know, Lirshus HaYachid? Right? Do we look at it, midrabanan, as really Hotzah Mirshus HaShus, or just that you require a, you know, Tikkun Eruvin, you know, that it should be Nikar, that people shouldn't make this mistake, but even midrabanan, it's not really considered, you know, Hotzah Mirshus HaShus. That's, of course, a very big issue in understanding both the Isur Tiltul, when it applies, as well as understanding, of course, the tikkun of Eruvin. What works for an Eruv, and with the Midrabanan, that's considered to be like a kind of, mechitza. Again, whether we're talking about Lachi or Korah, whether they're kind of mechitzos Midrabanan, or they're just a Nikar, that you shouldn't make the confusion, because once you're not confused, there is no Dindrabanan of Isur Tiltul Beinayim. Okay, but that's just something that comes up as well. Go ahead. Adam Omed Al Skupa.
Adam Omed Al Skupa. Notum Balabais Minosin Lo. Notum Ani Minosin Lo. Eventually, you told me Balabais Vinosin Lo. Ani Minosin Lo Balabais.
Yeah.
Vim Natal Vinosan, Shlosh Dan Pturin.
Yeah. So here again, this is Makom Ptur. And again, Rashi's description of Makom Ptur, by the way, like the Rimigash and some of the other ones that we saw, is that it's a non-Rashus. One of the things we'll have to look into more is whether or not, you know, that's true. We've had it already a little bit when we talked about Kluta, right, and some other issues about Makom Ptur, right? So is it a non-Rashus or some sort of a Rashus as well? And what the relationship between Makom Ptur and Karmelis is, again, we had it again in the context of Hagos HaShri and Miri and others, in terms of, you know, Ein Karmelis Bekelim, but is there Makom, you know, Ptur Bekelim, and why there should be that distinction, etc. This Iser of you know, going from one to the other, again, is something to look at on a Drabanan level, whether it's just Zulzule, you know, it sounds like you're just, you know, using tricks, you know, to get from one to the other. Why do we really care about that? Or is it, again, the Midrabanan, that's considered to be some sort of Hotzah Mirshus Lirshus. Okay, let's continue.
Chayim Omrim, Skuba Mishameshes Shtir Shuyos, Zman Sheh Pesach Suach Kilifnim, Pesach Noah Kilachutz, Yemaisa Skuba, Yemaisa Skuba Gavoh Yod, Racha Vadalai, and Razor Rishus.
Yeah, okay. So that is the description of the Rishuyos, and we talked about Karpef and a little bit about Karmelis and some of the issues, and Eruv, some of the issues that get raised, not necessarily get solved yet. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to be a little more specific. Go ahead, Omar Mar.
Zohi Rishus HaYachid L'mu'utei Ma. L'mu'utei Had Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya, Yeser Al Kain, Omar Yehuda. Mi Shiyesh Lo Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Ose
Lechi mikan, v'lechi mikan, mean lechi on two sides of one of the houses, right?
Lechi mikan, okor mikan, v'kor mikan, v'nosin, v'nosin, be'emza.
Yeah.
Amru lo, im avrim just rabbi mikach. So in order to say that, that's why.
Yeah, so this is a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we're not going to discuss Rabbi Yehuda right now, But obviously the question, Yaakov, what question does the Rabbi Yehuda raise?
What does it take to make an Eruv?
What does it take to make a Rishus HaYachid? Meaning when Rabbi Yehuda said that it only takes two, right, only takes two mechitzos, so first of all, we need to understand exactly what he means. Are they only, you know, two, you know, parallel mechitzos? What are the parameters of what Rabbi Yehuda has in mind? We can talk about that. But more importantly, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but obviously what Rabbi Yehuda is missing. What does Rabbi Yehuda have, and what is absent in Rabbi Yehuda, would you say?
Well, he has mechitzos.
He has two walls. He has mechitzos, plural. Okay, but what doesn't he have? You can call it anything you want. Dora?
An enclosure?
Yeah, he doesn't have enclosure. Or in Hebrew you would say he doesn't have hekef mechitzos. Right? The mechitzos are not, you know, mukafim, or they're not makifim. So basically, this is a big question in Rosh Hashanah, like, and it's a question in Sukkah, and it's a question in you know, Hilchos Tumah, right? When something is chotzeitz, you know, b'fnei ha-tumah, what really do you need? Do you need a dofen? Do you need a chefza shel mechitza, something which is mafsik, right? Which or do you need something which is makif, or do you need something which encloses this? Do you need something which simply disrupts the flow and isn't Rishus HaRabim? Maybe that's also a Hagdara, right? And or, again, you really need an enclosure. Do you need Defanos or enclosure? You can have an enclosure without Chefza Shom Mechitza Defanos sometimes. For example, I'll go partly, this is the question, something which we're going to get to in just a minute. What would be an example of something where you have maybe a lack, maybe, you know, not even chefza shel mechitza, but you have some sort of a hekef. Gabi? Well, if you have only one wall, I mean, that's...
Well, another two walls with, like, the third, like, the small thing.
Okay, I mean, we're...
Dumdin,
right? That's what you're going to say
also? I was going to say
Pasiv Biros, Dumdin, okay. Meaning, Vic, there you have a situation where you have the effect... Right, that's a question. Is that enclosure or not? But you know, you have an effect of you know, something being mukaf, right? Without there being, you know, something that really, you know, prevents you in any direction from going, from walking, right? It also depends on the parameters of that. So with regard to, that's part of the question, right? With regard to Shabbos, with regard to Sukkah, with regard to Tumah, wherever you require, with regard to Kilayim, right, wherever you need, you know, something that seems like Mechitzos, do you need a Chefza Shel Dofen? Do you need, is it about disruption of you know, Bikiya Sarabim, right, or is it about really Hekef and Lekula and Lechumra? So one thing Rabbi Yehuda teaches us is that, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, you certainly don't have, and you apparently don't need, Hekef. Right? You can't just have two walls and say that's mukaf. It's not mukaf. You say three walls are mukaf, maybe. You know, four walls are certainly mukaf. But there are, you know, mechitzos, plural. Right? You could say there's, you know, rov mechitzos, maybe. Or at least not less than, you know, half mechitzos. The question is Rabbi Yehuda's, is there any mid Rabbi Yehuda nishma l'rabana? You know, when it comes to Rishus HaYachid, is Rabbi Yehuda's total conception of Rishus HaYachid, right, different than that of the Chachamim? Are there other nafgamina in addition? Because obviously he has a much more, you know, expansive notion of Rishus HaYachid. Right. So that's one of the things to look at. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. The two lechis and the two korahs here obviously are only, you know, drabanan, to be nosa v'nosa in betocho, but we don't find lechi and korah, you know, as a din d'oraisa. Okay, let's continue.
V'amai karu le gimura, and that extra word gimura. So, ma'atatem akipu yirabanan alei d'rebi Yehuda d'lo havi reshus ha-yachid, hanimi l'taltel, aval l'zrog modu le. Kamash Malan, that's not the case.
Yeah. So what does that mean? I mean, they agree with him Daraisa,
yeah.
And they only argue with Drabanan about Pashas. This is on the Drabanan level. Right? And the answer is no, they disagree completely. Okay, so we'll get back to Rabbi Huda and Rosh Hashayach. And obviously, part of our discussion about Gimel Mechitzos or Dalet Mechitzos, or what can work, when can a Tzuras of Pesach, that's another good example, right? When can a Tzuras of Pesach work Midaraisa? Okay, so that'll be connected to the discussion of Rabbi Huda. Okay, Amamar, now we get back to Rosh Hasharabim.
So here, Rosh Hasharabim, Lema'utei Mai. So, Lema'utei Idoch to Rabbi Huda, Titnan. Rabbi Huda Omer, Im Haisa Derech Rosh Hasharabim Mafsekdan, Yisalkena Litzadad.
Yeah, so this is another Rabbi Huda. The question is how these two Rabbi Hudas, you know, actually work out. Okay. Right? But so what is this perspective?
That's the Hasidrov's case. He says it doesn't work at all, so if you can just move to the
So let's say you have a situation where you have mechitzos of some sort, but the rabbim are mafsik, right? There's bikias rabbim in the middle of the mechitzos. That seems to be this debate between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. And that seems to be an important issue. You have a head-on clash, right, between seemingly an important ingredient of Rosh Hasharabim. Right, the functional part of Rosh Hasharabim, you know, which is in conflict with the structural part of Rosh Hashayachid. Right, we've been pushing the idea that, you know, at least according to some people, Rosh Hashayachid is about the structure and Rosh Hasharabim is about the function. Which function? What function? That's still, you know, is it a population center? Is it an access, and an outlet for the rabbim? We'll get back to that in just a second, but either way, it's what the rabbim, it's a drisas harabim, shimush harabim, something of that sort. So here you have a situation where you technically have proper mechitzos, right? I mean, if there wasn't bikias harabim, everybody would agree that this would work. And nonetheless, the debate is: what if you have bikias harabim inside your mechitzos, right? Okay. So that is can you have a Rosh Hasharabim inside a Rosh Hasayachid, or can you have a Rosh Hasayachid, which is subject to Drisa Sarabim? It's hard to know which way to look at it, but that's the machlokas, the very important machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Jatanya is a Rosh Hasharabim, Strati Plati Gidola, Mavos Mufulashin, Veha Midbar. Oh, Rabbi, Lokashi, Akam is one, she's Shel Shem, Midbar, Akam is one.
Yeah. So this is where we left off. We'll stop here for the moment and just continue with what we were discussing last time. And then for next time, I also want to get through the Gemara on Chesam and Aleph just to chart out the rest of it after we talk a little bit about Platya and Stratya and so on. We're just going to go through the Gemara and we have to go through the Gemara anyway, actually, for Ben Amudim and Itzdava and Karen Zavis. So, okay, yeah. So next time we'll just go through the Gemara through Chesam and Aleph quickly. Well, let's stop here for a moment. So there's where the Gemara introduces Midbar and Yar. So what we, just to refresh our discussion, we had already discussed about the difficulty of Shita Sarambam. Right? What was the difficulty in Shita Sarambam? Avinoam? The Rama has Midbar and Yar as being just a rabbin, and it shouldn't be so because it should only be in the time when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, because that's when everybody was there, that's when it was a population center, and Bismanenu, that's not the case. So that's what all the Nosa Kalim basically ask against the Rambam. Okay. So basically, there are two ways to go with this Rambam. One is very radical, but in a way very appealing, very clear cut. And the other is to moderate the Rambam, still may emerge as being very, very important. Okay, what's the more radical way? And that's kind of in the direction of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam that the Kesef Mishnah quotes. And basically, it turns the whole Gemara on its head. So, what's the basic idea of that? Why would it be more of Rishus HaRabim Bizmanenu than then? Say again? Because it's more of a makom hefker, people can do whatever they want there, whereas when everybody is, you know, tightly fit into this small area, right, it basically imposes constraints. So the point is that if you take this view, so then the Rambam emerges, right, as being the advocate of Rishus HaRabim, not as a population center, whether it's, you know, a population living center or a population working center, right? It's not the makom, you know, knisa sarabim, right? But rather, it's about the everybody having equal access and avenue, right, to this area. So ironically, the midbar and the yar, bizman hazeh, are more Rishus HaRabim. That's turning everything on its head. But that's an amazing shita. Now the question that arises with that, and then we wanted to explain that, you know, and again, I think it's true, even if you don't go this far, as I'll explain in a moment, that maybe the Rambam is l'shitaso, right? In what way, Avinon? And that he, even as he, you know, projects Ya'ar and Midbar, which is very controversial, he does something else, which is, I don't know if it's controversial or not, but it's not the majority view of the Rishonim. What does he do? In the other direction, not what he says, but what he doesn't say. What does Rambam omit? Shishimripo. Again, so omitting, again, you have to take everything in context, right? Yar and Midbar are a problem because the Gemara seems to say that, you know, that makes this distinction. And the Gemara seems to, Pashtus of the Gemara, like everybody else read the Gemara, is that they are carmelous. So there the Rambam is doing something explicitly problematic and controversial, and that really needs to be addressed. The fact that the Rambam omits Shishimripo, right, is fascinating and striking, given that how many Rishonim, you know, project this as a requirement for Rishus HaRabim. Okay, but it's not striking from the perspective of reading, you know, the Gemara, because the Gemara never has Shishimripo. So we know that Shishimripo is, you know, mentioned by some of the Gonim, right? We know that it's mentioned by Rashi in Eruvin, and that Vav, and we're going to, somebody could get the formulations very quickly. We'll try to do that in a minute. And Nuntes. And it's mentioned here by Tosis, right, on Vav Amud Beis, where Tosis says, Mash Maktas, the Inner Rishus HaRabim Elim Kane Mitsuyim Sham, right, Shishim Rebo Kimoba Mitbar. Actually, when you put the Tosis together with the Rambam, right, what is Tosis saying that based on? On this Gemara, is the Gemara's distinction between, you know, Kambas Manchi Sral Shurian Bamidbar, right? Reading the Gemara, Kipshuto, like all Rishonim did, which is that at the time of the Midbar, it was considered to be Rishus HaRabim. So then, you know, the population factor, you know, is also, you know, something which maybe is determinative. That's what Tosa is saying. Tosa wasn't sure about it because it's not in the Gemara. Right, as we discussed, the Ramban in Erevin on Nun Tesam and Aleph is very, you know, critical about this whole thing initially. We'll still get back to the Ramban, probably not today, but, you know, we'll finish this up on Sunday. Right, the Ramban just points out that it's not, you know, listed among the other requirements of Rishus HaRabim. So, again, we can't be critical of the Rambam for not mentioning it, but clearly, a lot of the Rishonim, the majority of Rishonim, right, seem to have required this. So, the fact that he doesn't go along with it, together with the others, is interesting. Not problematic, but interesting. But if we take the view that according to the Rambam, a Yar and a Midbar, number one, he doesn't have the, you know, the impetus of Bali Tosis, right? Kand Mokom Shesh, you know, Sheshurian Ba Yisrael, if indeed we read it like Rav Ramban Rambam, just doesn't apply. But in addition to that, if the Rambam really believes that you know, bismaneinu, you know, a midbar and a yar, you know, precisely because they're, you know, not populated, therefore there's no constraints in what you could do there, constitutes a rishus harabim. Clearly, he lishitaso doesn't think that there's a requirement of shishim riba. But not just practically, I mean conceptually. Meaning, if the Rambam is all about not population, you know, location, right, or center, but it's about access, then why should there be a din, you know, of shishim riba? So that really, in that sense, the Rambam is very important. In terms of, again, halacha lemaisa, which I don't want to get into right now, but the whole issue, of course, Eruv Bizman Hazeh is really a fascinating, you know, chapter in halacha. But how important is it, you know, that the Rambam doesn't believe in shishim riba? Right, that's, you know, one of the big, you know, big issues. People who are generally choshesh for shitos harambams, you know, are very, you know, concerned about that. And shishim riba is a very important factor in justifying, you know, Eruvin, you know, in big cities, obviously. If you're talking about more just in terms of the structure of Tes Zayinama and so on, then, you know, you'll have many more Rishus HaRabims out there. But the point is that that's why it's important to understand that, at least in terms of the Rambam himself, it's possible that his ignoring of Shishim Ribo is part of a bigger shita that he has about Rishus HaRabim. And then the question is, if that shita, you know, is accepted, or for Machmir, for that, or not, Yar, Midbar, etc. At least that's something that has to be thought about or considered. Now, if we take the Kesef Mishnah view, there is something that needs to be, there are two things that needs to be addressed. I think we mentioned them both last time. For sure, somebody asked the question last time. It might have been Ellie, I don't remember. Was it Ellie? About the Galia Midbar? Or somebody else asked? Maybe it was Doron?
I think I asked it about...
Oh, you asked it. Okay. How do we use the Midbar...
Yeah.
As a paradigm for something. I think I said, well, it depends what we're using it for, and it's not so simple. So the Achronim asked this question, I think I mentioned last time. The Tshuva of the... I was just looking around on the tour the other day. The Arugas HaBosem asked... A lot of the Achronim asked this question. If this is really the Pshat in the Rambam, so when the Gemara uses the Galei HaMidbar, you know, as Rishus HaRabim, what are they referring to exactly? And are they referring to the main population part or not? Maybe they're... I think that's what we were discussing. So that's one question. The second question to consider is, and what if you do have Dafka big populations? Like what is... If the real pshat is that Dafka, Bizman, Shishrim, Bamidbar, it's not considered Rishus HaRabim, so what is the criterion of that? In other words, the other side of it, which is that you don't need Shishim Ribo, and that basically... a makom shemufkar l'shimush harabim l'tashmishay harabim is considered to be rishus harabim. That's the chumra side of it. We understand what do we do with the kula side of it? And that's the second question. Like, what does it mean? Is there a yar and a midbar bizman hazeh? Like, let's say you have a population center where a lot of people are living, and it isn't, you know, every place isn't mufkar l'rabim. There's a lot of, you know, structure in. Any structure that doesn't seem that the Rambam is going to go that far, right? So what is it? Is it the fact that the midbar and the yar are, you know, are constraining kind of places when you have a population in there? In other words, what makes them a makom shel shimush shaharabim is only the fact, you know, that, you know, that you can go wherever you want and do what you want, and you're not, you know, tripping over. Because there are trees and there are, you know, other, you know, natural, you know, obstacles, you know, which define this terrain in a certain way, and you might set, you know, it also being a population zone, right, curtails or cuts into, compromises its status as a rishus harabim, right? But if you have just a, you know, an open area. You know, does the fact that it's also a population zone, you know, with very specific, you know, with private property and public property and whatever the, you know, whatever the regimentation is in that, you know, open area, you know, would that also be part of the kula of Midbar, you know, Bizmana the Galim? I just don't know. I'm just saying, but it's something you have to think about in the Rambam. Midbar is a huge chumrah, yar, because Midbar Bizmana Zeh is a huge chumrah, but what about the kula of Midbar, you know, Bizman She Yisrael Shruyim Sham? What exactly is the hagdara of that? I just suspect that it has to do with the, you know, a yar and a midbar, you know, when it's filled with population, you know, that takes away from it as a makom, you know, she'ra'u u'mukhan l'rabin. But probably the same thing is not true in other cases, but how you exactly are magdir that, I think requires some explanation. Either way, this more expansive view of Rishus HaRabim for the Rambam, I think we made the point last time, both in Pirshas Mishnayos and, you know, in Yalei Chazaka, the fact that the Rambam begins with the Rishus HaRabim, these are important elements of this view. Not everybody interpreted the Rambam this way. There are those who limited the Rambam. Certainly the Magen Mishnah didn't understand it this way. He was bothered by these questions. The Bach did not understand it this way either. But even the explanation of the Bach, you know, I think underscores a different perspective, a different emphasis in the Rambam. So I don't remember if I gave that. Did I give you a look at the Bach specifically or not? Doesn't seem like it's ringing a bell. So the Bach just has a chiddush. The Bach says that the only time the Rambam will allow, or the Chin Mem Hey, the only time that the Rambam will allow Ya'ar and Midbar is as a function of, basically, he doesn't say the word, Sratya. Now, if you have a highway, you know, leading into the Ya'ar and the Midbar, so then, you know, the fact is that people will go there. And then he says, "Aye, what's the difference between that and a Bika?" Right? You could have a highway. In other words, number one, he's saying, just per se, that you have a makom which is mufkar lakol, if it doesn't have easy access l'rabim, the fact that it is mufkar v'roy, right, l'shimush kol echad, right, it's a makom hefker, that per se, obviously according to the Bach, does not make this a rishus l'rabim. Okay. Again, I should add, even from Avraham and Rambam in the Kesef, you know, quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, That's an interesting question. In other words, is it, you know, the Makom Midbar and Yar are the paradigmatic, you know, Rishus HaRabim because they're Makom Hefker, we don't care about the infrastructure and getting there? Or still would this be limited? Right. Certainly for Avraham and Rambam, you could say that, you know, call it the Sratya motif, right, is not required. And that, you know, a midbar is its own platja, but platja, or the ultimate platja, is makom shemufkar v'omeid l'shimush kol echad v'yechad, as opposed to makom mitzius or nochechus, you know, tzibur, you know, v'rabin. Okay. Either way, I think that's an open question for Rav Avraham and Rambam. For the Bach, that's the Ikar Yisod. The Ikar Yisod for the Bach is not that, again, he doesn't read the Gemara the way Rav Avraham and Rambam's reading it for the Rambam. He's just saying, basically, what bothered the Rambam was the following. You know, why? Why the hava? Like, why do we care about, why is there a brisa that tells you that bisman ha shel Yisrael, again, he's reading the other way, bisman shel Yisrael shruyim b'midbar, that's considered to be a rishus harabim. Why do we need such a brisa? Why the hava? It's a remote history. History per se is irrelevant. Right? Who cares? You know, what was a Rishus HaRabim Bizman, you know, then? Right? It's only important if it adds some conceptual, halachic, you know, information. So, okay, I mean, obviously the fact that, you know, a constrained place like the Midbar and the Yar, if it has proper population, you know, that's also considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. Obviously, the Bach was not going in that direction. He didn't consider that to be a Chiddush. So he says, "Mai dahava hava." So the Rambam was wondering, just like, what's the point of this Brisa? So the point of the Brisa is that there's a way to rehabilitate the Ya'ar and the Midbar. And there's a way to rehabilitate it without the population actually being there. Because there's a Yesod of Midbar and Ya'ar, and the Yesod of Midbar and Ya'ar is that when you have a highway, right, with public access that goes to the Midbar and the Ya'ar, so there'll be a certain amount of people, you know, who will drop by, who will get off, you know, that stop, you know, on the road. And that constitutes as a, you know, as a outlet, if you will, of Sratya. He doesn't call it Sratya. That's the significance of Ya'ar and Midbar. I'll just read you the line very quickly. Now, the reason that, of course, is important is that basically the Bach is not reading like Rav Avraham and Rambam. He's not as extreme as Rav Avraham and Rambam. Not Lekula and not Lechumra, or possibly, I should say, Lekula. But what he is basically saying is that you can have a Rosh HaRabim, right, which is not a Mokom Shel Nochechus Rabim, but is a function of what we're going to call, and you know, based on the Gemara, Sratya. You can have a Sratya-centric Rosh HaRabim. Okay? Do we have the line? Do you have any, Tamar? It looks like you have it in front of me. No, the Bach. You don't have it? Okay, so I'll read it. Kotzor Rambam, the Midbaris V'yaros Udrachim V'fulashim Lehem, Hav Rosh HaRabim, right? The Harava Magid Tamalav, Ad Kan Lashon. V'nirali Liyashiv Kushi Harava Magid, Kishan Nasim Lev, Bahad Tanya Da Midbar Hav Rosh HaRabim, Umayri Bizman Cho Yisrael Ba Midbar, Demai Had Mai Da Hava Hava, which is his way of saying, we don't really care about inconsequential, you know, what in this case is inconsequential history. Well, is it tzarech tanila? Ela b'korchak tzarech lomar, the hakamashmon di'i ike rabim mitzuyin achshav b'midbar tadir, gam kenhu b'chlau rishis harabim, u'kamosha kasav, l'sham harav amagid gufe. V'hashti yeshul yashiv divrei rambam, demasha kasav d'midbaros v'yaros, u'drachim hamifuloshim lahem, Hava Rishus Harabim, why did it say Drachim HaMifulashim Lahem? Ritzon Olomar, Deheicha Dinimtsayim Be'ezaz Man, Drachim HaMifulashim Limidbaros Oliaros, Hashtavadai Shchichi Rabim B'midbarzu, V'yarze, V'chol HaMidbar, V'chol HaYar, Nasa Rishus Harabim, but because of the Mavo HaMifulash, not the opposite. It's not that the Mavo HaMifulash is Rishus Harabim because it leads to the population center. We consider this place to be a Mokom Rabim because it's a stop-off place for some of the population that rides the highway. The Dover Yadua, the Bishayara, Hahochim, Nistalkim, Rabim Min Amasila, Hahochim Bemidbar, Ubiyar Atzmo. Then he adds, because this would be the problem, Velo Dami Ledrachim HaMifulashim Lebika Vesadeh, Kim Dishchichi Barabim, Barajba Shakasav de Midbaris Vyarasem Karmelis, Haina Bidaleka Drachim Mifulashim, Vein Benea Machlokas, Lo Kamosha Avin, Harava Magid. Basically, what the Bach is saying is not that per se, if there happens to be a highway, so then Lamaisa, the Midbar, and the Ya'ar qualify as a Rosh HaRabim. Not saying that, if you read it carefully. What he's saying is, as a derivative, as an outgrowth of the Rosh HaRabim, of the highway, right, the Midbar and the Ya'ar, right, also are Mitzuraf and become part of Rosh HaRabim. That, to be contrasted with Bika and Yam and so on, where even if you have the best infrastructure that gets you there, according to the Bach, right, that you can't get a Rosh HaRabim out of them because they're just not a Mokom Haroi, Ladrisas Rabim. You know, even even as a byproduct of the highway. Okay. So again, but the point I'm trying to make is that even according to the Bach, who doesn't take the radical reading of the Kesef Mishnah or the Raman and Rambam in terms of the Gemara, and who basically, you know, wouldn't have the problem, you know, of the Diglei Hamidbar, he wouldn't have Aaron's problem, and he wouldn't have the problem of, you know, and what about the Kula? Because there is no Kula, basically. But his understanding of Midbar and Yar is a Sracha-centric, right, Rishus HaRabin. And that's very important.
How the Bach explain why the Rambam puts Midbaros in the Yar first for the Drachim HaMufloshim Lahem?
That's a good question. Unless he thinks that Drachim HaMufloshim, I meant that that's the bigger Chiddush. Maybe it's a kind of Einzu. Meaning he's reading them together. He's not reading Drachim HaMufloshim as a separate factor. He's saying Midbar and Yar, Drachim HaMufloshim Lahem, as a result of the Drachim HaMufloshim, even that can be a Rishus HaRabin. I think that's how he's reading it. But again, if you hold like Rabbi Raman and Rambam in the Ketz Mishnah, so you say, oh, that's the paradigm of Rishus HaRabin. I think that's even stronger, obviously. But yeah. So that's the Rambam, and I think it's very, very important. The Rambam paskins that Bein Ho'amudim is also Rishus HaRabin. Some of the Achronim, I believe some Sofer, suggest that that is also l'shitaso of the Rambam in Ya'ar and Midbar, meaning because it's not a place where you're going to have obviously that kind of a population, but it's a makom shimush harabim, or which is patuach l'rabim. I don't think it's mukhrak, but I think it's just interesting again to understand, you know, where the Rambam is coming from. Now, we don't, even if you don't paskin like the Rambam, right, the question is whether the yesod of the Rambam, as the Bach understood it, or as the Rabbi Raman Rambam understood it, meaning the sratya idea rather than the platya idea, in other words, by which I mean, I don't mean the literal, what I mean is not so much the population or center where the population is, but a place where anyone, and maybe a lot of people, could or would go, and makom haroi l'shimush rabim. This idea, you know, even if you don't to go as far as the Rambam, obviously could still be a yesod of Rishus HaRabim. That gets us back to our platya, sratya, you know, question, namely, is it really, you know, are there two dinim? If there's only one din, you know, is the significance of the sracha where people don't live and which is just a you know, an outlet and an avenue, is the significance of that the fact that it feeds into and is therefore is mitzurav to a population center, right? Or vice versa, right? If there aren't two dinim, it's the sracha which is the ikar, right? Again, going as far as the Rambam, Or say, you know, in a more moderate way. But it's the sracha which is ikar, and the platya is connected in that way. So again, just interestingly, the question of Shishim Ribo is definitely, you know, one of the issues to consider. The more you think that Shishim Ribo is a very dominant theme, obviously in terms of presence of population, that's a key issue. You could have said that Shishim Ribo is just a shiur, in, you know, Shimush, you know, Harabim as well, the functional part, you know, in addition. Possibly, again, I can't prove this. The question, even if you require Shishim Ribo, whether you require Shishim Ribo, you know, occasionally or constantly, right, in terms of time, and the parallel question, and these two may not be Hova HaTalia, but logically, obviously, they're connected. The question whether or not, you know, you're very specific about Mokom Rishus HaRabim requiring Shishim Ribo, or you're more flexible about being Mitzuraf to a Mokom Shishim Ribo in a broader way. You know, you don't need Shishim Ribo in every place of the Rishus HaRabim or a direct connection, but, you know, even places in which there's no Shishim Ribo, which are Mitzuraf to a Mokom Shishim Ribo, you know, should be sufficient. May depend on this issue. Because the more we think that Rishus HaRabim is Platya oriented, right? And if we define that by shishim ribo, so you might say, you don't have to say, but you certainly might say, you might be insistent, that this be, you know, a sine qua non all the time and in every place. Whereas if it's, you know, just a shiur in, you know, shima sharabim in a more general way, but it isn't the population per se, then both in time and in, you know, place, you might be more flexible about this issue. This is something that we find the different formulations in the Rishonim. The possibility of distinguishing between sratya and platya, or sratya-esque and platya-esque kind of things, obviously makes a lot of sense in light of this as well. Right? And that's what we talked about last time, before Yontif, Noach, in terms of? You mentioned...
The distinction of the Ramban places, right?
Yeah. Which say?
Which said that you only need shishim ribo inside the city. No, you only need shishim ribo
inside the city. You only need shishim ribo inside the city. Right? The Ramban had the possibility, we're going to just... our time is up pretty much for the day, but when we finish this on Sunday. So let's look Sunday at the... at number one, the formulations of shishim ribo that appear in Rashi and Bav and Tess and so on. And Shulchan Aruch and the, I think I gave it Sefer Itim, a few of the like famous ones that a lot of the Achronim quote. Do you need, obviously Halacha L'Maaseh is a big issue too, do you need every day or constant, do you need it, you know, B'makom Echad? That's how flexible or general are we about Shishim Ribo? That's number one. And can you be Mechalek between, let's say, the Sratya and the Platya, or the Mavos on the Filoshim, which are literally kind of in between them, right, in terms of the requirement of shishim ribo? Let's talk about that. Then let's talk also about you know, some of the other details that I mentioned: the platya, the, you know, the you know, beinu amudim, the itztava, and then quickly, of course, also just go through the gemara about tzidei rishus harabim, chor rishus harabim, keren zavis. Let's try to finish up as much as we can on Rishus HaRabim on Sunday. And, you know, if we can begin discussing a little more on Rishus HaYachid as well. But also we'll go up to the Shaka V'Tari through Ches Amud Aleph. Okay? Thank you.